to bow down in worship, lifting up our hearts, we bow down in prayer. Father, oh Father, we have come to bow down in worship, oh, lifting up our hearts, we bow down in prayer, alleluia, and alleluia. You're the lover of my soul, and alleluia, with all of heaven we are singing,
sing bright and morning,
and bright and morning star. Your eyes blaze like fire, oh, shining like the sun. You're our one desire, alleluia, and alleluia. All of heaven, we are singing alleluia, oh alleluia. You're the lover of my soul, singing with all of heaven, we are singing. Oh, with all of heaven, we are singing. We join with heaven, singing. Angels cry out, holy is the Lord God, all the earth replies, holy are you, and all the angels cry out, holy is the Lord God, all the earth replies, oh, holy are you, all the angels cry out, holy is the Lord God, and all the earth replies, oh, holy are you, yeah, all the angels cry out, holy is the Lord God, and all the earth replies, oh, holy are you, and alleluia, 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 holy are you, Father, alleluia, 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 holy are you, and alleluia, 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 holy are you, alleluia. worship you today. Jesus, we worship you, holy are you, Father. Jesus, holy are you.
You are good. And you are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love. You are love on display for all to see. You are light. You are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope. You are hope. You have covered all my sin. You are peace. You are peace. You are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true. You are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy. You are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life. You are life. In you, death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. A light of the world forever. So you are more. You are more, you are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, you are Lord. All creation will proclaim. You are here, you are here. In your presence I'm made whole. You are God, you are God. Of all else I'm letting go.
Angel, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever and oh. I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever. My heart will see no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, keep on singing that out. And my heart will sing, oh, no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. Even though I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms, the riches of your love will always be enough. And nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever. And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, keep singing that out. Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. heart was sin. No other name, Jesus, Jesus. We'll see no other name than Jesus. Yeah. My heart will sing. No other name than Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing. No other name, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, sing no other name for you, no other name for you. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere, the atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us. Overflow, overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love surrounds us, yeah. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us.
Spirit of God. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Yeah. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Here as miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Sing it again, a miracle. A miracle can happen now, and for the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us. Surrounded by your love, Jesus. We need your love, we need your love, we need your love. We need your love, Father. We need your love. Jesus, overflow in this place. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill our hearts with your love. Jesus, we need your love, we need your love. God, we need your love, we need your love, we need your love. Oh, we need your love, we need your love, we need your love. Jesus, Jesus, oh Holy Spirit, fill your love to us today, fill your love to us today. Open our eyes, open. God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as it is.
done. Your will be done here as in heaven. Here as in heaven.
Take this time just to allow God to speak. If there's change in the room, if there's struggles in the room, if people are going through anything, just allow this the peace of God to come on you right now, because He's here. He's in this place. Father, reveal Your peace to us, Jesus. Whether we're going through the worst times of our lives, God, whether we're just broken inside, God, You're our healer. You're beautiful, Father. Come and reveal Your peace to us today, Jesus. Touch our hearts, Father God. We need a touch from You, God. We need Your peace in our lives. We need Your joy in our lives, God. Hold us by the hand and guide us through this life that's full of impurities. You look left and right and everything is impure, Father God. But when we look at You, we see purity, we see peace, we see joy, we see beauty, Father, in Your heart, God. So Jesus, would You refresh us today, Jesus? Speak to us today, God.
Amen.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to everyone in the room. Thanks. It is a happy Mother's Day for me. You don't have to be a mother to enjoy the day. So. I'm still in Revelation, up to chapter 19 now. And in verse 7, an angel is proclaiming praise to God, and he says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." This is a beautiful picture of the church, of His bride. What makes it even more beautiful is the fact that for the last two chapters, there was a heavy focus on another woman, a woman who symbolized some kind of enemy of the church. And she was also arrayed in some really precious materials, right? All kinds of precious stones and purple and scarlet. And she looked beautiful. But her destiny was to fall. And here, this woman's destiny, the church's destiny, is to rise and be married to the Lamb. What was the difference? What she was doing was adorning herself, the first one. She was taking all the precious things that she could find and putting them on herself. Here it says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright." This righteousness that he talks about, the righteous acts of the saints, it's not from within us. Any good thing that we do, no matter what it is, even our tithes and offerings now, if we try to bring it solely from within us to adorn ourselves, we fall apart. Just like the first woman from the previous two chapters, she fell. She looked beautiful, but she fell. There was no substance to it. Here, it's granted to us by the Father. This righteousness is granted to us. It feels like sometimes we don't understand what it took for us to have the opportunity for our good works to mean something. Because without God, even the best things that we can do are worthless. right? Our righteousness by itself, it's like filthy rags in front of God because of its association to me. If I'm imperfect, if I'm a sinner and I do something good, it doesn't count for anything because it came from an impure source. When Jesus died, he didn't die just to forgive us for our sins. He died also for our righteousness. He died to make it so that even the good things we do have eternal value. And he gave up so much to make that happen, to make it so that we are able to partake in this, and we are able to join him in this and to be adorned like this. It was granted to us to be adorned in his righteousness, and not just to put on his righteousness and leave it at that like a passive thing, but he's given us the opportunity to do something good that actually is good, that actually has eternal significance, something we could never do without him. And so when we give and when we do anything good, anything that he commands us to do, when we do it, it does have eternal significance, and it cost God dearly. It cost him his son just to make that happen. Not only to forgive us for the evil we've done, but to give us the opportunity to do something that is eternally good. He paid the same price for both. The value is equal there. In his eyes, he paid the same price to do both, to allow us this opportunity. So when we give with that in mind, knowing that, God, I'm here to give you my heart. I'm here to give you of everything that you've given me. And all the good I do, I thank you that you paid the ultimate price to make my good count for something, to give me a source that's pure, to give me a source that is the ultimate good, the only source of good, and you make it count. So God, we thank you once again for bringing us here and for giving us this opportunity. You've chosen to allow us to partner with you in what you're doing. And God, I thank you that you didn't just forgive us for the evil we've done, but you've given us a purpose, God. You've given us a plan, and you've given us something to work toward, to look forward to, and to rejoice in. I pray that we would never take for granted the opportunity to do good and to give into your kingdom, God, and to give what has eternal significance. I pray that this would be in the forefront of our minds when we give, that we would trust you, we would believe that your word is good, that your commands are good, and that what we are doing has true eternal significance because of the blood of your Son. In Jesus' name.
It's just a little while longer than I see you. It's just a little while longer than I know you. Just a little while longer and we'll be together. Just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. Just a little while longer and we'll be together. Just a little while longer and I'll see you. Just a little while longer and I'll know you. Just a little while longer and we'll be together. It's just a little while longer and I'll see you. It's just a little while longer and I'll know you. It's just a little while longer and we'll be together. My soul sings. My soul sings. My soul sings how I love you. My soul sings. My soul sings. My soul sings. Yeah. And all I want is just to know your heart. So would you keep me until we're one? God, all I want is just to know your Christ, oh, would you keep me here until we're one? All I want, God, all I want is just to know your heart, so will you keep me here until we're one? My soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love you. My soul sings, my soul sings, my soul sings, how I love
y'all know? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless everybody. How's everybody doing? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God is on the move. Amen. God is on the move. God is on the move. God is on the move. He's a faithful God, just God. We can go over many, 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 many names. We have been. Amen. Hallelujah. Want to come on down? Come on down. I saw you waiting. I was like, yeah. Make sure. Maybe you can get this side, and I'll get this side.
Okay. All right. So Luke 1:26-38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Praise God. So Luke chapter 1, 26-38, you read. Come on, right? The son's not here, but let him know that we're doing a Christmas message. He said the other day, right? We need to have Christmas messages all the time. But happy Mother's Day once again, everybody. God bless you. I don't know where he's at, but Feliz Día de las Madres, and I need my Arabic interpreter, Carlos. I don't know if he's out there, but he's my interpreter to say it in Arabic. Children are dismissed. Lord, bless them, be with them, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your anointing over them, Lord. You have called them by name, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord. Father God, we plead your blood over them. Continue to instruct them, teach them, Lord. Raise them up in your ways, Lord. We thank you and we honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Mother's Day, of course. Mexico, they celebrated May 10th, always, no matter what day. But in the mood of the holiday, I thought of a mother. We can talk about and what more than the most famous mother, right, which is the mother of Jesus. But we're going to see here a conversation between her and the angel Gabriel. And we're going to see an example here in her that hopefully we can all learn. Amen? We can see something in this conversation that they have that can teach us a few things. I know it's taught me. I know even as I was kind of going through the notes and looking into other stuff, this was really ministering to me. So maybe this message today is just for me, and I'm just going to share what the Lord ministered to me. But prayfully, it ministers to you, and it helps you out in whatever area you are. But let me give you a little quick story. 20 years ago, it's been 20 years, if I do the math right. 20 years ago today, I stepped into a Christian church for the first time ever. And it was in Riverside, and it was for Robert's baby dedication. All the Lorraine's family, they decided to dedicate three babies. All the sisters, there's three cousins that are kind of the same age. And they decided to have the dedications at the same time. And they had it on Mother's Day. So the husbands were still not saved. We're still not going to church. But how can you say no to a baby dedication, your child's, and Mother's Day? So well played on their part. Right? I had to go to church on that day. If you say no, I mean, you're in big trouble on that day. If I say no to that. So they played a good hand right there. But God was at move then, right? A lot of times we don't know that God is on the move already, right? And you can turn to somebody right now. And as a matter of fact, let's do it. Turn to somebody and tell them God is on the move. And if nobody's nearby, tell yourself, all right? God is on the move. God is on the move. I'll say it over and over. I'll repeat it to myself. And sometimes we believe it. Sometimes we don't. But God is moving. And He's moving on our behalf. Right? He's moving. He's doing wonderful things. Has done wonderful things. And He's about to do something very wonderful in this passage. Right? We see a conversation, as she read, between Angel and Gabriel. Between the angel Gabriel and Mary, spoke to himself. We see this conversation, and we're going to see four things in this conversation, right? We're going to see a promise that was introduced. We're going to see a question. We're going to see an answer. And then we're going to see a confession, or our confession. Amen? So we're going to see a couple things, and we're going to try to break this down. You guys may have plans after this. I'll try to be brief. For those of you who don't have plans, you can stay for part two after we're done with part one. Philip will stay here with you guys. But we see that Gabriel shows up, right? And I'm going to paraphrase and do my version. But we see that Gabriel shows up and, you know, an angel shows up, fear, right? We know Mary was about a teenager at this time. And he says, and having come, right? He says, rejoice with you, blessed are you among highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. Right? And he says then, and we'll skip a verse, says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Right? You have found favor with God. What does that mean? It means the grace of the Lord is with you. Right? And I wanted you to know something, that the grace of the Lord is not just with her, wasn't with just the people we see in the Bible, with the heroes of faith. The grace of God was just not with them, but it was with each and every one of you as well. Amen? The grace of God was with you and is with you now and will be with you. Right? The grace of God is what keeps us going. Right? The grace of God, I mean, we don't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. Right? We don't deserve it, but God chooses to give it to us. right? Because he's so good. He's so good. But we see in verse 30 to 33 that a promise was introduced, right? And we see the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Right? So he gives him the promise, and he says, "You're going to give birth to Jesus. You're going to give birth to this promise. You're going to give birth to the Savior of the world." I'm going to go digital. Sorry. I thought I could read that. I'm fighting it. I need glasses. I thought I could do it. Thank you. Said welcome to the club. I'm going to have to hold it like this maybe. But he says, "Do not be afraid." He says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Right? There will be no end. This is a prophecy that we learn way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Right? We learn it way back when he is speaking to the serpent, right? It says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And it's the prophecy of Jesus coming, right? And this prophecy has gone through years and years, and I wonder, and I saw in the commentary of Matthew Henry, it says that many Hebrew women were waiting for this. So I started thinking, I was like, I wonder how that went, right? Every child is born. I wonder if they were thinking to themselves, "Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one?" Right? Because they knew this prophecy was coming. And I know so many people missed the words of the Lord, right? And during this time of where his birth was and where he was to come from and everything. But this was a prophecy that was set forth way back in Genesis, right? And then now this promise is introduced into Mary's world. This promise has now been brought to her, right? See, it's real good when we can hear a promise and with somebody else, right? Or you're going to go here, you're going to go do this, and says, "Well, you know, God bless you. Good luck to you," right? But then when the Lord speaks to you and he says, "I want you to do this. I need you to do this," right? Then things change a little bit, right? Things go to a different level. You know, this promise was introduced to Mary's world. And they say, "You have found favor with God." And as we said, favor means grace, right? And this promise was of what? Giving birth to Jesus, right? Now, it was a huge promise. It was a big promise. She may not have known. I mean, they told her there. But it's a promise that's going to set forth and change the world, right? It's a promise that, I mean, it's still going on now, praise God. And all these promises that we see in the Bible, they sound great. A lot of these promises, when we hear them, we sound great. How many of you guys have been believing for something, been contending for something, been waiting for something? All of a sudden, you hear a word, you hear a promise, and it sounds so good, right? It sounds good, and you say, "Amen, that one's for me." Sometimes we may not like the way it sounds. It says, "Amen, that one's for him," right? But we hear him and we say, "Man, I like that one. I want that one," right? And you can have those. I'll take these. You can have those. But all these promises, when they're from the Lord, when they're from the Word of God, they sound great because they're powerful. Amen? They come from the throne room of God, right? It's who he is. It's his nature, right? We've been learning on Wednesdays. And I encourage you guys, if you guys can, come. Can come. That makes sense. If you guys can make it on Wednesdays, we invite you guys, come, and we're learning, right? Journeying through this book, right? Experiencing God, and we're seeing how God wants to have a relationship with each one of us, right? And he initiates this relationship, and we learn the names of God and who he is and who he has become in our lives. And we learn so many, many things about who God is in our lives and who he becomes in our lives. Right? He's shown us and he's showing us. Amen? But we see all these things and all these promises are great. Abraham, you're going to have a son. That's a great promise. Abraham, you're going to have a son. Right? You're going to be the father of many nations. That's a great promise, right? Would you guys agree? Moses, what you try to do with your own hands, you're going to deliver the nation of Israel. Go and speak to Pharaoh. That's a great promise. You're going to go and we're going to rescue them, right? You're going to go many, many great promises. Anyone wrote this one down? Pastor Al, go start a church. Right? It's a great promise. Maybe it didn't sound that great for him. Right? And maybe he can tell you that. Right? It's a great promise though, right? It's a great thing for the Lord. Go do this. Go start this. Go do this. Right? We have also received promises from God. Promises to do something great. Promises to do something, right, which we think is not great. I'm going to tell you something about greatness. Greatness is not measured by us. Right? We don't measure greatness. If we measure greatness, we're going to say, well, you got to do this much, that many people, this. No, no, no. Greatness is measured by your obedience. Right? If the Lord tells you pray for one person, that's a great call. Right? But whatever the Lord is putting in your heart to do, that do. Right? Don't be concerned because look at, if you walk 10 miles, you're going to find somebody that walked 20. Right? You're going to find them. And you're going to always try to, right, catch up to whatever. But just be obedient to the Lord. Right? Have a relationship to the Lord. And we hear these promises. She heard this promise. You're going to give birth to a child. And he is going to be Jesus. Right? He is going to be who we've been waiting for all these years. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. There will be no end. Great promise, great words. But then comes the question. Every promise we have heard, every promise we hear, you know, we've had a desire for something, we get a word from the Lord for something, to do something, naturally comes the question. And Mary's question was a simple one. How? Right? How can this be? How can this be? She says, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Right? She is a virgin at this time. She's promised to be married. She's engaged. Right? She says, I have not been with my husband. This doesn't make sense. Right? And a lot of times we hear these promises. Like I said, some sound great. The word is great. The promise may be great. But to us, it may seem overwhelming and may seem impossible. Anybody been there before? Overwhelming and impossible. Let me tell you something, that's a good place to be. Right? Because we know that we can't do it on our own. Right? If it was something we can do on our own, then maybe we turn into, you know, well, I don't really need God. Right? I can take care of this. Oh, it's great. We have a great God. We have a great God, and he's always there with us. Amen? And he tells her this promise. You're going to give birth. How? How is this going to happen? How can this be? Look at my situation. Look at my condition. It is virtually impossible what you're saying because I have not done the steps it takes to get to this point. This cannot be. She's still virgin. She hasn't been with her husband yet, right? Abraham, have a son. We know what's the impossibility. He's an old man, right? He's an old man. How can this be? Sarah laughed. How can it be? The prophet Jeremiah was called by God. And he says, God tells him, before you were born in the mother's womb, I knew you. Right? And he says in verse 6, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Right? God calls him. He says, I set you apart, right, to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah, he took this promise of God and invited it into his reality. And he says, I cannot speak. I cannot speak. He says, I am just a youth. Right? Many, many, many times, and I'll just talk about myself right now. Many, many, many times I've found a reason of why not. Right? A reason, I'll tell you what, if you want to find a reason of why not, you're going to find one. There will be many. There will be many reasons we can find of why not. Right? I don't want to do this. Or Lord, you want me to do what? You want me to go here? You want me to do this? You want me to do that? And we can find a reason if we look hard enough. Right? He invited it into his circumstances. He invited it into his condition. And he says, Lord, I am just a youth. And maybe we're not even finding a reason to be rebellious. Maybe we're just seeing where we're at and we're saying, well, how can that be? I don't get this. And that's okay too. Right? That's okay too. Lord, how is this going to happen? She said, you're saying I'm going to have a baby, but yet, you know, I'm not there yet. How can this be? How can this happen? Many times we bring God's word into our reality. Many of the greats did too. But we don't focus on the impossibilities. We turn our promises into prayer. Amen? The Lord has given you a word. The Lord has spoken in your life. The Lord has given you a desire. You take that promise. And you may stay and you may start and you may start thinking, this can be, this can be. I can't do this. I can't. No, take this and say, Lord, thank you for this. As hard as it may sound, as hard as it may appear, I thank you for this. Put it in the Lord's hand. Amen? We put it in the Lord's hand. Lord, it's in your hands. You gave me this promise. You will help me through this. A lot of times we focus on these impossibilities, on these great things which we think, oh, there's no way I'm getting past this. There's no way I'm getting through this obstacle. James, thank you. You guys were here on Wednesdays. You guys know what I'm talking about. But God has called us to go through some obstacles as well. Amen? There may be an obstacle that wants to stop us. I'll tell you what. Last night, and Philip, I thank you for your prayer this morning before we started service. Philip was praying about who had a bad day, a bad week. And yesterday, I did not have a bad day. You thought I was going to. Oh. I did not have a bad day. It was a good day.
Right?
Started off well. Got a haircut, cut my 5 hairs. Right? Each one of them, one at a time, $5 each. But everything was good. Right? Spent some time at home, relaxed, no work. It was a good day, right? Went over my notes. Everything was good. Yes. In the middle of the night, I woke up. And I knew for a fact it was weird. But I woke up and the first thing that came to me was, pray for the peace of God over you. And it was, my mind was racing all kinds of directions. It was just everywhere. From stuff I see on TV, from family things. I mean, it was just racing everywhere. And I woke up and there was no peace. So it was a bad night. And I woke up and I prayed the peace of God over me. Right? I prayed the peace of God. And I come in this morning and Philip's saying, who had a bad day? Right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what? Sometimes, and don't shake your head or raise your hand. That's easier said than done. Right? It may be easier said than done, but guess what? It's still true. Amen? It's still true. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I prayed the peace of God. And I prayed the peace of God. And then he said, joy of the Lord is your strength. I needed that. God is faithful where you're at. God is faithful in whatever circumstance you're in. Whatever the promise is, whatever the word is, whatever the vision is, whatever the desire is in your life, there's an enemy of our soul, there's the devil, there's Satan who wants to stop that desire. He wants to stop that plan of God in our lives. He wants to put an end to it, and he'll try anything possible, anything allowed to end this plan. He's tried in many, many times in the Bible to stop this point where Mary is going to give birth to Jesus. He's tried to end a whole race, right? In the book of Esther, he's trying to wipe out a whole race, trying to end this. But God is greater. God is greater, right? Wherever you're at, that promise is not dead. Maybe jumping ahead of myself, but it's what it is. That promise is not dead, amen? Pastor Al, name your church Arise Church. Name your church Arise International Church. International. Philip the other day was talking about no borders. No limits. When you say international, there's no boundaries to international. It's out there, right? That is a big vision. That is an overwhelming task, right? Maybe even impossible, you might have felt or feel, right? But the Lord has shown them in the short time I've been here, I've seen glimpses of His goodness. And you can see signs. Look around you. Just look around you. Everyone will play a great part, has played a great part in the vision God has brought. And just the same way God has spoken to you, and God has spoken to you, to everyone. And we hold on to some from family members, some for our situation, some for our circumstances. And we're holding on to these promises, and we're not seeing them. But we say, God, I'm trusting in you. Right? Mary said, how is this going to happen? How can this be? It brought the question. As soon as this promise was introduced, it brought forth the question. We brought it into our reality, and sometimes because we did that, we mess it up. Or we cause the fire to fizzle, or whatever the case may be. But it's okay, as I said. Many people, many greats in the Bible did this before, right? We turn it into prayer, and guess what? When we turn into a prayer from a question, we get an answer. Amen? We get an answer. Mary said, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. There was a question. Like I said, we could be asking questions in a rebellious form, or we could just be asking a question in a concerned form. Lord, I don't see it. How can this be? We turn it into prayer, and God will answer these prayers. Well, I haven't heard yet. Continue to praise. Continue to pray. Continue to seek the Lord. God will confirm His promise through His Word. God may show us glimpses or place people in our lives to help our faith. Many of us may be going through something or have gone through something, and we hear a testimony from somebody else. And I don't know if you have, I know I have, and it helps you out. Right? Somebody comes up and says, I was going through this, or I had trouble with this, or I was in this situation, and God did this for me. And next thing you know, you're going through that same thing. God will place people in our lives to let us know that we are not alone in this. God always with us, but He will put people in our lives to remind us, to show us. He shows us glimpses, right? He tells her in verse 36, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is how the sixth, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." So you're doubting or you're questioning, but check this out. You know the stories of Sarah, and you know all these stories, but your cousin, your relative Elizabeth, she, you know her as barren, and we know being barren had brought shame, but guess what? She is with child now, right? And I'm sure this activated her faith, right? And this helped her out. When we hear these stories, when we hear the Word of God and we're reading the story, it becomes alive and it activates our faith. And something starts inside of us and it starts pumping and the blood starts pumping and the fire starts burning. Why? We're hearing. Tell somebody of what the Lord has done in your life. Tell somebody. God is good. Share it with somebody. Tell them how He helped you, how He rescued you. Right? If somebody says, you go to church on Sundays, yes, why? Open door. Right? Why? Sit down, please. Tell them, because God is love. God saved me. God rescued me. I was on my way here, and now I'm on my way there. Right? So many things we can tell them. Right? You go to church, why? Well, because, you know, I have to go. They make me. Or, you know, eventually things might turn around. No, things will turn around. Amen? Things will turn around. Clap like no. Things will turn around. You got to believe it. Things, everything works out for what? For the good. Right? Everything works out for the good. Right? You got to believe it. We got to believe it. He gives us an answer. And He says, and by the way, with God, nothing is impossible. Right? So you may look at the impossibility. You may look at the circumstance. But He says, guess what? With God, nothing is impossible. Right? With God, say it again, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Remember Jeremiah? He said, I am just a youth. I cannot speak. In verse 8, he says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. And he says, then the Bible says that he placed his hand over his mouth, right? And he says, I have put my words in your mouth, right? He says, I can't speak, right? Moses said the same thing. I can't speak. I stutter. I'm slow of speech. He says, well, somebody's going to go and talk on your behalf. Right? But with him, he says, I cannot do this. Right? We may be expecting God to say, yeah, you're right. I'll pick somebody else. Right? Or just me. You're right. God, can you just pick somebody else? He says, I cannot do this. Right? The corner over there. You guys can do anything God puts in your heart. God has placed a great call in your guys' lives. Right? That's like an anointed corner because you go over there and you fall back. No, I'm kidding. I think it's because James is over there. But God has placed a great call in your life. This side over here. The call will come. No, I'm kidding. God has placed a great call in your life. If I'm clapping, guys, this is something. I'm just clapping. God has placed a great call in your lives. You got to believe it. Everyone here. Sir, God has placed a great call in your life. You too, sir. You got to believe it. We got to believe it. Do we know it? He gives us an answer. He shows us. He gives us proof. Seek His word. He'll speak to us. It says, Elizabeth is pregnant. With God, nothing is impossible. Jeremiah, you can't speak. You feel you can't speak? Watch this. I place my words in your mouth. There's been times, and I've been blown away every time by it, that the Lord has led me to pray over somebody. and I pray over them and I start saying stuff and I don't even know what I'm saying. And they may tell me, how'd you know? How'd you know this? How'd you know I was going through this? I didn't. I didn't. The Lord has placed His words in you. All He's looking for is a willing vessel. Can you be that? He gives you an answer. And He'll place people in our lives. On Wednesday, my brother Robert made an announcement. Hopefully I'm not ruining it. Can I say it? Okay, thank you. If He would have said no, I probably still would have done it, but on this side. But they're opening up their house to young single adults. And they want to minister. And they want to open it up to help and to reach out to them and let them know that there's somebody there who cares, right? And that's an awesome thing that God has placed in their heart. I was trying to listen to everything, but I got distracted. He said there was food. And I started thinking about that. But the other stuff I think was good too. But I said, this guy must be a wise man, right? I mean, I know he's a Laker fan already, so there's wisdom right there. There's wisdom there. So I said, this is a smart man. But God will place, just as He placed it in their heart, He'll place it in other people's hearts to be there. Guys, you are not alone. Whoever this is for, maybe it's for me, but whoever this is for, you are not alone. Right? God is with you, and there's people around you. There's people to your right and your left who are there with you as well. Amen? You are not alone. This answer that God gives us is to activate our faith so that we may begin to see things through God's perspective. See, when we see this promise, we see the impossibilities, we bring it to our world, and we start to say how, and we can't, right? But when we start to seek the answer, when we start to seek this relationship with the Lord, and He starts to speak to our lives, and He starts to show us how and who He moved already and what He's about to do, it activates our faith. And we're able to start to see things through God's eye, through God's perspective, where He says in verse 37, with God, all things, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. To this kingdom, there is no end, right? She says, how can this be? And then Mary, and it leads us to our confession, or to her confession. It says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We see here in this conversation that it started. Now remember, she was a teenager here, right? And I didn't get into this too much, but the penalty for what was about to happen, right? They would have thought that she was cheating on her husband. She was with somebody else, right? She wasn't with Joseph. So this brings death, right? This brings death. Young teenage girl. Hey, guess what? I got a promise for you. You're going to be pregnant, right? All these circumstances that she could have gone through, all these issues, right, that she probably pondered and she thought about in her mind, of all these things, well, if this happens, this might happen, this might happen, this might happen, this might happen. Introduced it to her world, right? And it's a reality, right? To some of us, that promise and, you know, it's your reality. That's just where you're at right now. I'm going to be put to death. But once that faith gets activated, and once she gets that answer, and once she starts to see things through God's perspective, she's able to say, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Right? Nevertheless, your will be done. Right? Not mine, but yours. Right? Let it be according to your word. These things that we hear, these things that we're told, we may not like them. We may not like the way they sound. International church. That's crazy. But behold, let it be according to your word. Right? Abraham, pick up your family and go. What? Right? But behold, let it be according to your word. Sacrifice your son. No way. Behold, let it be according to your word. Right? Many, many people, we see these promises. And I like what Pastor Al pointed out about Abraham, that all the mistakes he made weren't accounted for in the New Testament. Right? That's so awesome. In the New Testament it says, he believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen? It was accounted to him for righteousness. There's promises. There's promises we've heard, we hear, we're hearing. Are we saying, nevertheless, your will be done? Do we trust in what the Lord is saying? As I said, Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Daniel chapter 3, we know the story. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, right? We know that they were supposed to bow down. They were supposed to, and I'm going to paraphrase, we were supposed to bow down every time the sound, the music, they were supposed to bow down to the image. And they didn't. King brought them in, says, is this true that you guys don't do this? And I like that they said in chapter 3, it says, well, we don't have to talk about this. We don't have to answer this, right? And they came to a point, and we know the story, they got thrown in the fiery furnace, and there was a fourth in there with them. But they say, we will not bow down. I'm paraphrasing. It says, but even if this is the end, we still won't do this. We still will not bow down, right? They had the faith. God is going to come through. But even if not, even if this is the end, we still will stand for God, right? We still will stand for God. And that is a great story. No matter what the consequences were, they were going to stand for God, right? No matter what the promise is, no matter what the desire is, no matter what the word is, are you going to stand for God? Are you going to stand for what God says or for what the world is saying? The world is getting louder and louder out there. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention. But there's a lot of things that's making a believer a bad guy. If you believe in some ways and some believing in some ways to live and some ways to act. And if you believe that, you're not good, right? And the world wants to be loud in their ways. Are we going to stand for God? Are we going to stand for what the Word says? Or are you going to let the circumstances stop this promise? Are you going to let the circumstances stop this vision? We need to stand for the Lord. Some of you may be receiving promises right now. Maybe starting your journey. To those, I encourage you. And we pray strength, right? The Lord is with you. Whoever that is, maybe you received a new promise. The Lord is with you. We pray strength. But to some of us have received promises which may seem dead now. We have allowed them to go away. We have allowed them to fizzle out. For whatever the reason is. And we think those things are gone. That was in the past. And we say, that time has passed. I cannot do it. There's a story, and I'll try to paraphrase for the sake of time. 2 Kings chapter 4. It's the story of the Shunammite woman, right? And Elisha. And there's a story where she serves the prophet Elisha. Every time he walks through the town, she serves him. She feeds him. And she realizes this is a man of God. She tells her husband, let's make an upper room for him. Right? Let's put a bed. Let's put a table. Let's put a chair. Let's put a lamp for him. That way when he comes and is on his way to Mount Carmel, that he can come and stay. So she serves him. Right? And in this time, the prophet says, what can we do to bless her? What can we do for her? Right? And he sends the servant Gehazi and says, go ask what she needs. whether we speak for to the king on her behalf or the commander, what does she need? And she says, and I hope I'm saying it right, I'm fine among my people, right? Which means I'm good. I'm good the way I am right now. I'm cool, right? This is a new interpretation. What can we do for you? I'm cool, right? It says, I'm good the way I am. I'm fine amongst my people, I believe is the way it actually says. Go read it, chapter 4, check me. But he says, go. And he says, go, what can we do? She says, I'm fine. And he says, and the servant says, you know, they don't have a son. They don't have a son, and her husband is old of age. Right? So he comes the promise of a son. Fast forward like a year later, and the son is born. Right? So she received this promise of having a son, and a year later, this son is born. Right? A couple years later, the son dies. He says, my head, right? He's out there in the sun. He says, my head. They rush her back to the mom. And it says that he sat in her lap and he died there. And she didn't say, oh, you know what? This promise is over. It says that she took him to that upper room where Elisha would stay, laid him down in the bed, and closed the door and did not say nothing. She closed the door, and then she said, hey, prepare a donkey, I'm going to go. And she goes to see Elisha. And Elisha sees her coming, and the Lord did not show Elisha. Hopefully I'm doing the story justice. And the Lord did not see Elisha. The Lord didn't speak to Elisha about what's happening. But he sees her, sends a servant, and he says, go and see what happened. If everything's all right with your husband, with your child, with you. She pretty much comes and says, hey, this promise you gave, there's the clap again. This promise you gave me, it died. What's up with that? That's what it says. She goes, this promise you gave me, it's dead. It's over. You told me, and she says, didn't I tell you that I'm cool? Didn't I tell you that I'm fine the way we are? I didn't want nothing. Right? And maybe some of us have voiced those words. Lord, I didn't ask for this. I did not ask for this. I just wanted to come and, you know, do whatever or do nothing. I did not ask for this, but God has a great call for each and every one here. A call to reach the nations. A call to touch people's lives. Just like He helped you in your life, you can also be a blessing to someone else. Do you believe it? She did not give up on this promise. She went back and she said, hey, nuh-uh. We're not leaving it like this, right? She says, come on back. And they went back. And it says, send the servant. And the boy didn't come back. And it says that he laid down right on top of the boy and put his lips to his lips and hand to hand and laid. And then it says he got up. The boy was still dead. It says he walked around praying, right? Then he says he went back. Laid down, same way. And it says the boy sneezed 7 times and was brought back to life. That promise came back to life. She did not give up on this promise. There's promises that we think are dead. There's promises we think are dying. There's promises we think, oh, maybe that was just me. I tell you right now, that promise is not dead. Seek the Lord. Go after the Lord. Show the Lord. Say, Lord, help me in this area. Lord, here's my question. He gives you the answer. Lord, I believe, I trust in you. This promise is not dead. Contend for what the Lord has shown you. Contend for what the Lord has given you. She did not give up. She went back. The prophet came. The boy came back to life. Now, why did she have to go through all this? Why do we have to go through all this? Why, Lord? Let me tell you why. I don't know. It's God's will. I guess that I had the answer. It's God's will, right? Whatever sometimes it may be our fault, right? We may do stuff, but God's grace is greater. God's grace is greater. God may allow stuff in our lives. There'd be obstacles in our lives. But God's word is true. God's word is true, and God is greater. But why all this? Why did she have to go through all this? If you fast forward to chapter 8, there's a famine in the land for 7 years. For 7 years, she has to leave her house. She has to leave her place and go away and live with the Philistines. And she comes back and she's pleading. After 7 years, she's pleading to the king for her property back. And Gehazi's there. And the king says, tell me about the great things the Lord has done through Elisha. And so Gehazi is telling her. And all of a sudden she's right there. And she goes, oh, by the way, that story I was telling you, that's her right there. The story I was telling you about the son that died and came back to life, that's her right there. And because of that great miracle, the king gave her back her land. And she was able to go back and receive. Why this? God knows that 7 years you're going to go through a famine. God knows that at the end of the 7 years you're going to need your land back. You're going to need your property back. You went through this. And now 7 years later, look at, because of that, you got your land back. You get your house back. You get your property back. Lord, I said yes to your promise. I said yes to your word, and things look like they're going backwards. Things look like they're not like I thought. I said yes to what you showed me, and it's just not looking that way. What's going on, Lord? Give it to the Lord. He will show us. He will show us. But there is a reason why we go through things. There is a reason. God knows what He's doing. Whether there's a famine coming, or whether He's called you to do something for somebody's life. Mary was called to carry inside of her the Savior of the world, the one who gives life. That was her call. Carry the Savior of the world. We saw in the story, she ended up saying, she went from how is this going to happen to nevertheless, your will be done. Are we there yet? Let's all stand, please. Mary was called here in this conversation to give birth to Jesus. It says again in verse 32, He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. She was called to carry inside of her the Savior of the world, the one who gives life, the one who brings life, the one who has redeemed our lives. And when we say yes to Jesus, He deposits in us His Spirit. And we become a new creation. And we carry Jesus in us. And He gives us life. And He brings us life. Life in abundance. I don't know where your life is right now. What your circumstances may be. They may not be good. And you say, God, this is my reality. But if that's where you're at, just give it to the Lord. If that's your reality, place it in the hands of the Lord. Jesus is the one who gives us life, and we need to speak His life over our lives. And we need to say, Lord, Your will be done, not mine, but yours. So Heavenly Father, this afternoon, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your promises, Lord. We thank you for those desires that are being birthed. We thank you for those promises and desires that we may even have thought that they died, that they fizzled out, Lord. We speak life over them, Lord. Father, I pray for everyone here. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone, Lord. Help us, Lord, to always seek you, Lord. Always trust in you, Lord. And whatever those circumstances may be, Lord, we speak life over them, Lord. We speak your life, Lord. If there's anyone here that maybe they may have felt like giving up, may have felt like maybe this just isn't the path I speak life for. The Shunammite woman did not give up, and the promise was rebirth. Father, we thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. As the music plays, as we're closing, if there's anyone here who needs prayer, if there's anything in your life you need agreement with, we can stand in agreement with you. I just invite you to come on up, ask the leaders, pastors, to pray for them. If not, let's just bless the Lord. We praise you, Father. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that your will be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, some caught in your grace, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else. My purpose remains, the art of losing myself in bringing you praise, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, Lord. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to praise you, praise from the inside out. inside out of my soul, Christ in my heart and my soul. But I give you control, consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and prayer become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fate. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out.
God, I just thank you for your love in this place, Lord. I thank you that we can always come to you and that you are our safe place, God, that you are our joy and our happiness and our peace. God, I pray that we would come to you with everything that we have throughout this week and give you our good and give you our bad, and that we would walk with you and that you would be close to us, Lord, because that's the best thing that we need is just you, Jesus. So I pray for each person in this room that they would just have you, Lord, that they would be happy and free from all pain and all hurt, Lord, and that they would just live a beautiful life, Lord. We love you, we thank you, we glorify you in everything that we do. In your name I pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.